Yeah. You know what time it is. Welcome back to Marshall Time, episode 64. What's going on, bro?
What's up, bro? How you doing?
Man, it's a good time of the year. The weather's starting to break through here on the East Coast. You know, it was a cold winter, but I can sense the spring breaking through, which means it's the best time of year for hoop heads. Whether you like college ball, professional ball, like it, this is the best time. You got March Madness already in action, got the conference tournaments. I've been checking out some games when I can. And then the NBA playoffs around the corner. So we got a lot to talk about. I mean, from March to June, it's a lot to talk about when it comes to hoops, obviously, with the draft as well, the lottery coming up. I think the lottery is in May, right? So you got the lottery, a lot of conversation about that. Where will the Sixers land? All these teams tanking to try to capture the flag. We'll talk about our favorite prospects. Then you got the playoffs. So I'm excited. I love this time of year. You know I'm a huge college fan. And so before we get started into the professional realm, we want to talk about the college game for a little bit. Now, I know the bracket isn't going to be released. Selection Sunday is this coming Sunday. So obviously the conference tournaments have to finish out through the weekend. And then the brackets will be revealed on Sunday. But I feel like you still have an idea of the team or teams that you're pretty much going to ride with. We know that matchups play a huge part. These are college kids. You never know what might be going on. They can catch fire. Look at was it Oakland last year that caught fire against Kentucky? Like that one guy forgot his name. You know shooter, what I'm talking about,
yeah.
Though.
Yeah, shooter. He hurt himself a D-League trial off of
that. That's what I'm saying. You had DJ Burns in NC State. Who would have thought they ran the table in the ACC? Had no business. Outside of winning the conference tournament, they were not a tournament team. And so that's what makes it so crazy. That's what makes the bracket so unpredictable. But I will say, the past 2 years, bro, I've picked UConn, and they haven't failed me. And so I'm using the same formula this year as far as a team that I feel like I can trust the most, because my philosophy is, which team presents the most room for error? If the shot's not falling, can they create off the bounce? Do they have a solid guard rotation? That's huge. Do they have a couple guys who can play at the pro level? Do they have seniors? Do they have experience? And do they have bigs that can actually play? Bigs that can rebound? Bigs that can actually play ball, that aren't just tall, that aren't just big, that actually skill? And so with that formula, I've picked the team that I feel like I've got that same, not saying they're UConn, but I got the same trust. As much trust as you can have come tournament time. So I'll present my team, and then we can talk about your team and maybe some other teams that we like. But the team that I like right now, without having a bracket, because things can change with matchups, we'll see injuries happen. Cooper Flagg already got hurt. That's going to change a lot of people's thoughts if he can't play, right? So the team that I'm going with right now, without a bracket being seen or presented to me right now, I like the team. From the SEC, it's not Tennessee, it's not Auburn, it's not Alabama. We're going with those Gators, boy. I've been watching this team because, you know, 2 years ago when I was watching a random UConn game in January, and I was like, yo, these guys are hooping. Like, half court set, they got shooters, they got pros, they got big guys. This was a squad that they had Andre Jackson. They had Donovan Klingon. You know, I think he was a freshman that year. They just had a squad before all the other guys that graduated. They were better than last year's UConn squad. I don't know what it clicked for me recently watching Florida. Like, this is the best basketball team I've seen. I know Auburn, Duke, Houston, they're great. Alabama is great. Looking at the resume of Florida, though, look at who they've beaten. They've beaten an Auburn. They've beaten a Tennessee. And they just beat Alabama. Knowing how tough the SEC is, let me just double check that just to make sure. But I'm pretty sure they've beaten those schools that I've just mentioned. Let me just double check. Yeah, so they... This was when Tennessee was number one in the country. They beat Tennessee 73-43. They lost to Tennessee in February, but, you know, it happens. They beat Auburn when they were number one. And they recently beat Alabama. I look at their lineup, the guard rotation of Walter Clayton, Will Richard, Elijah Martin, who came from FAU, the Florida Atlantic team, Denzel Aberdeen. Then their big guy rotation, Alex Condon. I looked at ESPN's mock draft. He's a first-round pick, quiet as kept. If you haven't watched Florida, Alex Condon, you can't miss him. Big guy, but he's skilled, can pass it, can move, can run the floor, can shoot it. Thomas Hall, Ruben Chinyelu, Michael Hondlington. So you got four, even five guards, honestly, for Florida. Urban Klaasvaar is a nice rotational piece off the bench. You got one, two, three, you have five guards, four solid bigs that can do everything. I feel like Florida is a team that can combat issues that they may face. If you're in foul trouble, if a guy has to sit out for injury, they have depth. They like to push the pace. They like to score. So if this team is hitting on all cylinders, you got to be able to score with this team because they can put up numbers. And if that happens, if that team is running and gunning, which is how they want to play, you're in trouble. But also, half court wise, they can get it done as well. And so the team that I feel like has the most room for error to me is Florida. And it's rare that, you know, Auburn and Duke have been talked about all season, but sometimes that makes me nervous, right? Florida's just been like waiting in the wings. I think they're fourth right now. They've been top five consistently, but they're that team that they're there. People know that they're good, but it's all about Auburn and Duke this year. So I just got a good feeling about Florida. With respect to Auburn, I love what Auburn's about. I would probably have them in the Final Four, but there's something about Auburn that I don't know, something, especially lately. I feel the same with Houston too. Like I like their makeup and what they do, but there's something that I just can't, I feel like there's something, there's going to be a game in the tournament where the offense is just struggling and it's going to bite them. So I'm going with Florida.
Yeah, I'm not mad at the Florida pick. It's actually a sneaky pick that a lot of people aren't going to really talk about, but they should be named in that mix. Because like you said, when it comes to, you know, all-around team and guard play, they're right up there at the top. And, you know, they're able to put up a lot of points, they're able to get up and down, shoot the three, and they're able to defend at a good rate too. But my pick, man, team that I've been watching all year, and it obviously it depends on the health of one player right now, Cooper Flagg. But from the reports that I've seen, it said that, you know, his ankle looks like it'll be okay. He didn't stay in the locker room. He was on the bench. So if everything's good with him, if he's able to play at, you know, a decent rate, it may not be 100%, even if it's 90, 85, I'm still picking Duke. I think Cooper Flagg is that big of an impact player, especially at the college level, the way he – just off his defense alone. If we don't even have to talk about his offense. We know his offense, you know, he still has some work to do, but the way he plays, he's poised, right, for a freshman. He plays smart on offense. You know, he knows when to pass, knows when to shoot. That corner three for him has been great down the stretch this year. Teams you can't really sag off of him. He can blow by you one or two dribbles, and he's great in transition. And his defensive presence, like, come on, bro. We know he can guard on a wing, he can guard in the paint. You know what I mean? Guard in transition, chase down blocks, whatever you need. Steals, lane steals, all of that. He's there. On top of that, you got Prague there. You got Knupple. He had a huge game today when Cooper Flagg went out. And that game earlier today, man, that showed a lot about that team, right? They were getting blown out. They started to make a little run. Their best player goes down. You know what? Somebody else has to step up. I think Knupple ended up with 28. He played a great game. Willed his team to victory. Those are the type of, you know, battle-tested victories you need, especially late down in March, you know, and going into early April. That's what they need. Also, my boy, Isaiah Evans, coming off the bench. When you talk about, this is just a fun player to watch. And he's really good, too. If you like pure ballers and you like shooters, watch him. As soon as that ball touches his hand, it's up. He gets high. He has a high release. He has a high jump. Hard for people to contest him. And he's going to let you know it. He's been like that since high school. And he's carrying it on to college. You know what I mean? I'm not a Duke fan at all. But just from what I've been watching, a team that has, like, they may not be as good. They give me vibes of the AD Kentucky team. Now, not to say they're as good as that, but it's just the way AD was on defense. Cooper Flagg is similar to that, just everywhere on defense. It's not quite like AD, because AD was a little better at this point in his college career, but just that same energy. And then Isaiah Evans, he gives me the swag of Devin Booker off the bench, even though him and AD was, you know, different Kentucky teams. Devin Booker, a lot of people didn't know, you know, in Kentucky, he was just a shooter off the bench for them, but he was a bucket, just like Isaiah Evans. And it just reminds me of that team, of those two teams, like a mix of both of those teams. I really do like Duke. I have another team in mind, but we'll talk about that, you know. But if you had to give me one team to pick, I got to give it to Duke just because I think Cooper Flagg is that good and just make that big of an impact.
You know, Cook is the real deal. I mean, every team that's trash should be trying to grab the flag, man. Like, he is the real deal. It's just I just pause and I'm like, man, they're relying on a lot of freshmen. I know Proctor, he's experienced. He's a junior, right? They have the Gillis from Purdue. I just, you know, the young guys are talented. It's just, man, it's rare to see a team that relies on that many freshmen, you know, win it all. And if Cooper Flagg is able to pull that off, yeah, like it's no question that he is the number one player in the country right now. Now, what about teams that you have an eye on? You're just putting like a little, you know, asterisk by it. You're not totally sold for different reasons. I got a couple teams. I like St. John's. I mean, I'm Big East biased. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you like Villanova. You know, I grew up like in Georgetown, outside of North Carolina, Syracuse. Like, I've always enjoyed just Big East basketball. And St. John's to me is like restoring. Just to see St. John's back again, to see them, Madison Square Garden being lit on Saturdays, Rick Pitino on the sidelines, the way they play, like they lock up, they defend. The only question is, come tournament time, if a team is shooting the lights out, can St. John's do the same thing as shooting the suspect? But they will make you uncomfortable. And if you're not used to the great thing about the tournament is conference play is interesting because you're familiar with these players, their tendencies, these teams. So you're not really surprised by much when Auburn and Alabama face off, right? Or even if it's seemingly a mismatch, these teams are familiar with each other. So it's not going to be – no conference game is going to be just a gimme. It's going to be tough in some sense. But these teams that are not used to playing a St. John's or a Houston, it's going to be tough. If you're not used to playing against these teams that have this size, the speed, the overall athleticism, Rick Pitino arguably is the best coach in the tournament. You know, you got Tom Izzo. You know, who else? I mean, there are some great coaches that are going to be in the field, but Rick Pitino, like, would you put a coach above Rick Pitino just off of background resume, like in the field right now? Tom Izzo's a great coach, but I'm not putting him above Rick Pitino, pound for pound. And so coaching is crucial. And so with St. John's, I'm like, man, I can easily have them in my Final Four, Elite Eight for sure, but it's just that shooting part. Can I trust it? Another team I like Maryland. That starting five, all guys put up double figures. I love Derrick Queen's game. Angel Reese's brother. Let me get his name right. Hold on. What is his name? Julian Reese. So having Julian Reese and Derrick Queen playing together, that's a solid front court. I like Maryland, but they're top heavy. Outside of that starting five, that first five is like, if one of those guys gets in foul trouble, if Queen or Reese gets in foul trouble, one of those guards gets in foul trouble, who do you have? And, so I'm looking at St. John's. I like Maryland. A part of me likes this. I'm not saying, like, they're going to go far, but I don't know. Kentucky, they might be a sneaky team. I just got a feeling. I'm just leave it at that. But, yeah, those are the three teams that, you know, I think Michigan State is a team that should be looked at for sure. But St. John's, Maryland, and Kentucky, those are like three teams that I like. I got my eye on. I'm not ready to like Final Four just yet.
Yeah, honestly, St. John's, that's my second pick. Like you said, the shooting piece is the only thing, and it's shooting from the three. But yeah. I look at them and I say, the way the game is played now, a lot of teams kind of play it into how they want to defend, right? Mm-hmm. Because they make you take tough shots, they make you turn the ball over, and they rebound, they close out possessions. That's going to be so critical come tournament time. And I watched, you know, you watched the game today, they can go on runs where, like, mm-hmm. bro, your team might not score for a few minutes, and that could take, you know, that could kill your confidence in March, and that could take your team out the game. If they get three stops in a row, they're going to score. They're going to end up scoring. Then they do it again, they're going to end up scoring. You know what I mean? I can just see that happening to a lot of teams. And the thing that's interesting about them, they don't shoot the three well, but
Rick Pitino has made their offense in such a way that they're still able to put up points because they push it in transition, and also they do a good job of getting it into the paint, whether it's playing off a two, whether it's a back cut, you know what I mean? Diving down off a screen, things like that. It's just like it's a different brand of basketball than what we're seeing in the NBA and in the college game for that matter. So, like you said, we're a little bit biased because of the Big East thing, but at the end of the day, they're a team that really when you play D and rebound, honestly can be in any game. And then who's to say they can't have a good shooting night at the right time? You know what I mean? Like, it's basketball. You know, these guys, they practice every day. They might, you know, somebody might get hurt. A guy like RJ Lewis might get hot come tournament time. That's all they really need. But their defense, like, from what I've seen this year, it's up there with some of the best defenses we've seen in recent history. Think about the UConn teams. You think about the Baylor team with Davion Mitchell. Their defense is from that cloth. Like, when you watch them play, they're so aggressive. And like you smoke about Rick Pitino. Another team I have my eye on for sure is Houston. I feel like we say this every year. Yeah. But the truth is, they're always in that mix every year. This guy get over the hump. And I want to see, you know, I want to see their coach finally get it done.
Yeah, Kelvin Sampson.
Want to see Sampson get it done. But their team, I mean, bro, they still got LJ Crier. Their team's just, listen, bro, they could do it. It's just, that's the team that I'm like, just because I feel like we always say this about them. And other than that, man, I think it's up for grabs for everybody else. I always keep my eye on Alabama just because I like how they've slowly transitioned into a basketball school. Not fully, you know, football's always going to rule, but their basketball team has become, like, you know, respectable, and they know, you know, they're going to be competitive. But it's definitely St. John's is my number two, so that's definitely what I'm looking at.
Houston is like, they're always going to be there, right? And like I talked about, if you're not used to playing a certain style team during the season, if you're not in that conference, like St. John's is going to get, I'll give St. John's two wins off the strength of, they're not, if they don't play a Big East opponent, then
you see what I'm saying? It's like, it's going to be like, to me, they've been dominant. They've been dominant all year. Like a lot of their wins have been blowouts. Like,
yeah,
I look at that, and come tournament time, I could see them starting off rip with two or three blowouts. I could see that.
You know, if you're a conference winner of one of these, you know, smaller conferences, and you're not used to playing a team like St. John's, that could be kind of, especially if you're not relying upon, like, because an Oakland Kentucky situation can happen, right? But if you're not relying, if you don't have like a guy that can shoot the lights out, or a couple guys that can really shoot the lights out and get hot, you can get smoked off the floor.
Bro, early.
And Houston's the same way. Like, they play such a physical style. If you're not used to that, it's going to get wrapped up early. My thing with Houston is, man, like, that team, remember the team that had Marcus Sasser and Jamal Shedd? That
so backcourt.
That was so the team talent that I thought was going to break through.
Yeah.
Just like the Gonzaga.
Who did they lose to that year?
I forgot. But
was it Baylor?
Somebody got hurt. Somebody got hurt, though.
Shedd got hurt.
Shedd got hurt. And that
who
pretty
did they
much.
Lose? This I was think like that, 3 years
was
ago.
Was it Duke?
Right?
Was it Duke? I think
they
lost
to Duke.
Did they lose to Duke? I can't remember. I have to look back. But yeah. Shedd got hurt, and that's when I was like, yeah, it's a wrap. Mm-hmm. It's a wrap. They were just like the Gonzaga team that had Rui. They had a squad, man. And I thought
Kispert was on there.
Rui. They had the big guy. What's his name?
With the stash?
Yeah, that was a squad. Yeah, I was like, man, they got like two
legit. That was
Kispert and Ruby, you knew were going to be pros. I'm like, oh, this Gonzaga squad might be the one to do it.
But I feel like Gonzaga, you know? Ever since my whole life, they've been, you know, they're not going to win. Houston is like maybe half my life. Gonzaga's the ball. I remember when they had Adam Morrison, and they still couldn't. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we always knew they wasn't really going to win.
Houston's just going to – just their style of play is so tough to practice and mimic. If you're not used to it, it's going to be tough. And so – they're going to be there. Kelvin Sampson is one of the best ever to do it. It's just, am I ready? Like I said, I talk about that margin for error. Does Houston have a large margin of error? I mean, if the half-court offense sometimes can get a little, you know what I mean? LJ Crier is good, but the other guards, they kind of struggle with creating off the bounce and creating separation sometimes when I watch. And if you got to – I watch and see how teams generate offense. Sometimes it looks too hard. If it looks too hard sometimes for a team, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can trust that.
Yeah.
Like, I need you to generate. That's what made UConn so good, because that half court was just a machine. Easy. They were generating easy buckets, like whatever. And when I watch Florida, like the guys that can shoot and pass it from all different spots, it's like, okay, Alabama is sort of the same way, right? They have guys that can get easy buckets. And so that's what caused me to pause about Houston. But man, it's going to be fun. Like I said, the brackets come out on Sunday. Our Tar Heels lost to Wake Forest. Oh no, we beat Wake Forest.
How about I say y'all were down, but y'all came back.
I'm tripping. We beat Wake Forest, so I feel like that was the win that we needed to. I think we're like a last four in. They had me nervous. I'm like, if you lose to Wake Forest, then you don't even deserve
it. That's a wrap.
Get out of here. What about your Nova Wildcats? What's
hey, man.
Listen. I need to win out pretty much, right?
Yeah, but we've been playing better the second half of the year. Eric Dixon, like you brought to my attention, he leads the nation in scoring. He's playing like
that's crazy.
A college vet.
Yeah, I want to talk about him.
When
I first saw him play as a freshman, he didn't look comfortable with the ball. Now he leads. Yeah. I'm like, what happened? So, yeah.
Yeah, just development. A lot of times for players, it's just finding – your game. A lot of players, you know, they feel like they got to do too much dribble. You don't got to do that. His, you know, he has a face-up game, low back to the basket. He got better at shooting the three ball, pick and pop. It's all about finding your game, and he has done that. We end up getting Wooga popular from
Wooga.
He was from Philly. He's from Philly. Philly kid. Yeah. Our point guard. Oh, what's our point guard name? He's a Philly kid too. He was at LaSalle. Look him up real quick. What's his name? How did I forget his name? He's from LaSalle. He's short. He's only like 5'11", but he can ball.
I know who you're talking about. Hold on.
We got him.
Is it Jamar Brickus? Is that him?
Yeah, Brickus. Yeah, yep.
Brickus, yeah.
Yeah, he can go. Yep. He went to LaSalle, transfer here.
Yeah, he a grad student. Yeah.
Yeah, so we got some, you know, got some Philly. Yep. Yeah, we got some Philly kids on the team.
Kyle Neptune coaching for his job, right?
Yeah, yeah, and you know they're playing for him. They're playing hard. You know we got a good double for Seton Hall, so we got to run the table. But it is what it is. We don't got too many expectations for him. But I just I'm happy that they're playing better. Happy they're playing better. What's Baylor's situation right now? What are they? Because I know they won, but do they need to win out too? Or they are?
I feel like because they're. I feel like Baylor's in a good spot, right? I mean, I don't think they have like. Let me see.
I feel like they don't have bad losses. But
yeah,
they don't have
like a crazy
great,
loss. They're in the Big
great
12.
Wins either though. Like, I feel like
Nova. Your Nova boys play UConn. At the time of this recording, they're going to play They play UConn in a few minutes, actually.
Well, UConn that we could win that though. UConn hasn't been that. They haven't been to their standard this year.
Baylor's interesting, because they're. I'm not feeling Baylor as much as I usually do. I'm not really.
Yeah, I just asked because I like VJ Ekwonu.
Yeah,
and I like Robert Wright from Delaware. You know, hometown kid, and I love the way he plays.
So they 10-10 they 10-10 in the conference, 19-14 overall. I think they're. I'm pretty sure they're in.
So that's the thing. Like, I feel like it'd just be interesting to see. I want to see some of these NBA prospects in the tournament because RJ. Dylan Harper and Bailey let me down, man. That wasn't a good year. They played, of course, they played good individually during this year, but their team just wasn't playing winning basketball. And I would have loved to see them in the tournament. We're going to see Flag. I don't know who else we're going to really see. What is Arkansas looking like? Because I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we don't have. I want to see some of this NBA talent. Is BYU going to be in it? I know they got Igor.
Yeah, BYU. BYU.
So, you know what I mean? I want to see some more NBA talent that we're going to see in the upcoming draft. I want people to see these guys,
Well, I feel like a lot of times. You got Illinois. Go ahead. What you about to say?
I just feel like a lot of times in recent years, a lot of these players get drafted, and a lot of people that don't know who they are because they're either overseas or their college team didn't do anything in the tournament. So, it's kind of like, you know what I mean? I want to see, I miss when we was able to see John Morant and Zion and Marchman and stuff like that. I want to see these guys, be in March Madness. I want to see it. It'd just be cool to see. And VJ Edgecombe right up there, you know what I mean? So we already
BYU
got Cooper
is 17th. Flagg. BYU 17th. Okay. So they're
okay. Yeah, so we'll see. We'll get to see Igor.
You got Derrick Queen from, at Maryland.
Yeah, we'll get to see Derrick Queen. Okay. I just want to make sure we get to see some talent.
Alabama has some guys that'll go.
Does my boy still play for Alabama? 6'10". His last name was Nelson, right?
He's still on the squad. He went crazy last year against Carolina. I remember that game.
Yeah, I love his game. I hope
Cam Jones from Marquette. He's a hooper.
Okay.
Danny Wolf, big guy from Michigan.
Yeah,
I think
Danny
he's
Wolf
fun to watch.
Yeah.
He I think he's a first round pick. So I mean, there are, you know, some talented young guys that we'll be able to see. But more often than not, we see these experienced teams that are always able to break through. You know, so it'll be fun though. I'm excited. Brackets come out Sunday, so we'll see how it all shakes out. We'll definitely see how it all shakes out. All right, moving on to the pros. I sent you a video, a clip of an interview of Rich Paul, who is LeBron James' agent, doing an interview. What was this? It was on ESPN. Yeah, it was the Pat McAfee show. And this is a clip, and I'm just going to read the quote that was tweeted out. Bob Cousy and Pistol Pete Maravich were great for their time. What would Kyrie do in that time? They didn't even make shoes to handle the style of play for a guy like Kyrie. We want to be respectful to the ones before, but we have to give flowers to the guys today. So there are a couple conversations that I feel like I'm over and I think just need to be deaded. MJ versus LeBron debate. I don't care anymore. Whether side you stand on, whatever, congratulations. Nobody's mind is changing. And everybody, you know, a lot of people have their own agendas and different reasons for why they're picking said players. Never about the actual talent. Face of the league.
That's number
and
one.
And comparing players from different eras. I don't think, you know, being a fan of the game for so long and knowing about the history, as I've gotten older, I'm like, man, I've realized, like, it's really not fair to compare and say a guy like Pistol Pete Maravich wouldn't do damage in today's game. When you actually go back and look at it, what he was doing with the Rock at that time, his shooting, his ball handling, that was different. Everything is about evolution. So without a Elgin Baylor, there's no Dr. J. Without a Dr. J, there's no Michael Jordan. Without a Michael Jordan, there's no Kobe, Vince Carter. Without a Bob Cousy, there's no Pistol Pete. Without Pistol Pete, there's no Isaiah Thomas. There's no AI. There's no Steph Curry. I can go on and on about these comparisons. Will Chamberlain, Bill Russell, KG, T-Mac, they've given way to the KDs that we see. Larry Bird, LeBron. And so for me, just to start this off, because I have points that I want to make to really dig deep into why I feel this way, but I don't think when we talk about different eras and comparing players, I don't think it's all the way complete, and I don't think it's all the way fair to guys who paved the way, who didn't have the luxuries of what players have today. When it comes to training and visualizing icons of today, like, I was able to see AI and envision, okay, I can do this. We can work on this. That leads to a guy like Steph and Kyrie, like guys who continue to elevate the game and do new things. But back then, if you watch some old clips of Bob Cousy, he was doing some crazy passes too now. That back in the day, it's kind of sick. I saw one clip. He did like a casually half. He did like a pulling up mid-range, just a little hook shot, just easy, and some chucks or PF flyers, whatever they were wearing. I do feel like some guys transcend eras, though. Will Chamberlain, best believe, yeah. That's like, it's Giannis pretty much. Bill Russell would do work. Elgin Baylor, Oscar Robertson, Dr. J, Isaiah Thomas, Pistol Pete with the three-point line. What are we talking about here? And so guys do, there are, each era, they have guys that can transcend any era. Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, they would all do the work. And so for Rich Paul to say they didn't even have the shoes to handle what Kyrie does, well, of course they didn't. But all things would be equal if Kyrie played back then, because Kyrie didn't have the benefit of seeing Allen Iverson or clips of Isaiah Thomas, clips of Pistol Pete. guys that and one mixtape. He didn't have the luxury, you know, he wouldn't have had the luxury of seeing guys like Hot Sauce and AO because they've had an impact on Quiet as Kept. Those guys have had an impact on what we see today too. And so just like rap, when rap started, it was like a hit, like, okay, that was dope back then. You have a Rakim who sort of slowed down the flow. You got Nas, Jay-Z, and what, like, and so it's all about evolution. And so I just hate when they say, oh, they're playing against plumbers. I mean, that's kind of disrespectful. And kind of, not because when I was watching an old clip of the Celtics-Lakers finals from the 60s, and these were some good athletes to that time. Like, these guys, they weren't, you know, comparable to what we see today. Obviously, they're not running as fast and not jumping as high, but Bill Russell was pretty impressive. Will Chamberlain was pretty impressive, right? They're doing these in Chuck Taylor's PF Flyers. They don't have the greatest personal training, probably wasn't even a thing coming up as kids back then. Now these kids have personalized, individualized training. Back in the day, these guys had to go drinking beer. These guys had to shoot on the crate. In the summertime, instead of working one-on-one individualized skill, they're at the playground, Rucker Park. They're at the,
like hurting
they're
their knees. Hurting their knees.
They had to go in the dirt yard in the back, shoot on the milk crate. You know what I mean? But they were still hooping. And so for me, I'm done with comparing eras. Yes, you talk about the greats and the legends of each era, but to compare, it's just not – I don't think it's fair to the guys from the 50s and 60s and 70s. 80s on, then you can say, okay, that's like sort of like – it's becoming modernized, right? Because I think pre-MJ and post-MJ, that's when it's like, all right, things starting to change now. It's more of an above the game thing. So, yeah, that's – I just wanted to start off with that.
Yeah, but even in the 80s and 90s, right – to add to your point about, you know, just being aware of what you could do. Like you know, you spoke on Kyrie. What would Kyrie look like in the 60s without seeing some of the ball handlers before him? Like, we know he learned a lot from Rod Strickland. Well, Rod Strickland didn't play until MJ's era. He wasn't in the own. You know what I mean? So, before, even on top of that, you got to think, a lot of these players didn't have that in their mind because they weren't really, it wasn't encouraged to play like that. Back in the day, basketball, even in the 80s, you watched the Celtics play. Basketball was very dribble-less, pass more, let's get good shots, let's get to the basket. It wasn't a whole lot of ISO. It wasn't a whole lot of step back, James Harden type stuff because that's just not how the game was played. It was looked down upon, actually. The problem is a lot of people don't know the history of the game. That was looked down upon. Like, even at the high school level, it's so many, you know, if you just go, you know, like around to like, it's a lot of older guys that'd be like, yeah, you know, we like playing at the playground, you know, because we could really express ourselves. We could play free as opposed to playing for our high school team or a college team. If we try that in a game and we miss, we're coming off the bench. Shoot, if we make it, we might be coming off the bench because it's just bad shots. You know what I mean? So that's another point to add too. But on top of that, the whole thing about comparing eras is we'll just never know. That's just the real honest thing, the truth. Like, we'll never know what an MJ versus Bron matchup is going to look like. We can say Bron does this, MJ does this. The reality is we're never going to know. It's funny because me and my boys on the game one night, we was playing a team up on 2K, and it was like the 1960s All-Stars versus like the 2010 All-Stars. And it was John Havlicek on one team and then the Jonte Murray on the other team. And somebody was like, bro, DeJounte Murray better than John Havlicek for real? Like, and we all like, yeah, he's better than him. You know, of course, if they lined up one-on-one, DeJounte Murray would probably cook John Havlicek.
Yeah.
But in reality, if DeJounte Murray played back then in his era, we don't know. We're not talking about the DeJounte Murray that we see today. We're talking about the DeJounte Murray of the 60s. We don't know what it would look like because he might be dribbling, looking weird like him. He might be dribbling, you know what I mean? Because that's what he sees, like. Imagination, like you said, the evolution of imagination has gone so far with these players now. Like, nobody was thinking. They see, that's why I hate when people say, oh, Steph couldn't play this, that, and the third era. He could because his shooting is so great. But at the same time, Steph had to be encouraged to shoot like that by Mark Jackson. Coaches weren't encouraging players to shoot like that because we had a guy like Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. And I'm not saying he's Steph, but if you watch him play, he could shoot.
Yeah.
Even Larry Bird, he didn't take as many threes as these guys are getting up 11, 12 threes a game. Larry Bird was probably taking, what, two, three?
And Larry was a problem, too.
Reggie Miller, even Ray Allen, early in his career, wasn't taking a lot of threes per game, but we still know he's a top two, top three shooter of all time. And it's just, that's where we're watching the game and knowing what's really going on. A lot of these guys just weren't given the capability to do certain things. So the whole Eris convo, the truth is, like you said, evolution in basketball, that's a thing, right? Also, though, you got to understand, a lot of these players are more athletic because that's just the way things go. Now we got kids that are in middle school dunking. We got kids that are 6'5", 6'4", middle school dunking. You know what I mean? I don't even know what the stat is, but I'm sure the average male height at some point was is taller than it was years ago. You know what I mean? And that's just how the world works. Nutrition. Better. You know what I mean? The way these players take care of their bodies. Like, yeah, we see. Like, I was having an argument with somebody about LeBron and how, you know, he has a crazy points record. And I said, we don't know. Somebody years from now might break Bron's record because if you got Bron laid the blueprint out, take care of your body, stay away from this, put $1 million into your health. It's a player somewhere that's might not even be born yet. 20, 30 years from now, somebody's going to be like, this is what Bron did. You could do the same, play longer than him, break his record. Mm-hmm. Are we going to call him the GOAT because he has the most points, or are we just going to say that's evolution? Right. You know what I mean? We can't do that. So. And that's no disrespect to Bron. His longevity is crazy. But yeah, the reality is, we're going to start. Stephen Curry is, what? How old is Steph now?
James Harden.
How old is
Steph? Yeah, he's the hardest. Steph will be 37 this
and,
month.
And you telling me Steph can't, you can't tell me he can't play to 40 and still be elite? KD. Like, you know what I mean? We're going to see more and more of these guys because of just how health is. The recovery and training. It's more guys that are going to be able to play longer. That's just the reality of it. So the whole Eric convo, man, of course, DeJounte Murray is going to cook John Havlicek if we just drop the current DeJounte Murray.
Right, of course, yeah.
But that's of not course. How it works because it just wouldn't work like that because 50 years, well, not even 50, 10 years from now, it's going to be a player that does everything that DeJounte Murray does, but is 10 times better than him just off of athleticism and skill. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's like just saying, how it goes. If J. Cole and Curtis Blow had a rap battle, J. Cole would win. Well, I mean, yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course he would.
Right.
But
right.
Put J. Cole in the time of Curtis Blow.
You don't know what it would look
being,
like. Right?
And him being in, unless he's right, because like I said, every era they have guys who transcend their craft. Rakim switched it all. Dr. J switched it all. Michael, like there are Will Chamberlain, like these are guys, Pistol Pete, like certain guys, okay. That's the new standard now. This is how we should play. This is how we should rap. This is how we should do anything in your, like, technology. The phone.
Yeah.
Like, the phone, when it first came out, was this crazy invention. Oh, let's put a phone in the car. Let's have a car phone. Yeah. Oh, let's get a beeper. How about we have a telephone? Flip phone.
Flip phone. With minutes on it.
How about a BlackBerry?
Yep.
Sidekicks. Touch screens.
Yeah.
And so
the thing about that is some people still might like those old phones compared to these phones just off the nostalgia piece. And it's not wrong with that, but
yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, this phone can do more.
Right. And so I saw a cool graphic on Twitter. Matter of fact, I'm gonna send it to you now. Cause it was like a which era wins type of thing. I said that silent generation, I'm about to send it to you now. It's kind of tough. So the Gen Z era is Jason Tatum, SGA, Wembanyama, Anthony Edwards, Luka Doncic, Millennials, Steph Curry, LeBron, KD, Jokic, and Harden, Gen X. Shout out to my guys, Kobe, Duncan, KG, Shaq, AI. That's my era for real, for real. Baby Boomers, MJ, Akeem, Magic, Charles Barkley, Larry Bird, Silent Generation, Bill Russell, Wilt, Oscar, Jerry West, Kareem.
Boomers.
That's a crazy lineup. That's a crazy lineup.
That's Hoopers. That's a crazy lineup.
To me, the best matchup would be Gen X versus Silent Generation.
That's Gen X is Jordan and them?
No, that's baby. Gen X is Kobe, Duncan, KG, Kobe. Shaq, AI versus Russell, Wilt, Oscar, Jerry West, Kareem.
Yeah, that's
just that front court matchup.
Yeah, the front court, yeah. And the guard matchup for that matter, too.
Oh, yeah. AI, Kobe versus Oscar and Jerry West? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So looking at that silent, look like Russell, Wilt, Oscar, Jerry West, Kareem. You're going to tell me that you're going to pick any generation and say comfortably they're going to win.
Right.
Like just off of the front court alone and what we know they could do.
And all five of those guys, I can put them in any era, mm-hmm. and they're still going to get their games off. If you give them the same training, the same technology, the same footwear, the same just benefit of being inspired by the older generation, what we see with Wembanyama, that's Wilt.
Yeah. Like, that's Wilt. He's seen KD shooting. Right.
Like, Wilt was a track and field athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was high jumping crazy. Like, go do your YouTube, like, research on Wilt. But, I mean, these guys were crazy back in the day. Bill Russell was an athlete. Oscar Robertson was a bigger guard.
Yeah.
So this big point guard thing is not new. Like, you had Magic, you had Oscar Robertson. Like, these were the guys who were, like, bigger point guards for their time. And so, for me, it's like, it's just a tired conversation. I think the proper conversation is, who are the GOATs of each era?
Mm-hmm.
That's a more fair, because we're able to compare them relative to their peers, their environment, the evolution of the game. To me, that will do them justice, because having conversations like Rich Paul is saying, pretty much, yeah, he was giving them credit, but he was sort of slighting them. He was slighting them as well, because he's like, if you put Kyrie back, then it would be over. Well
duh.
You're being disingenuous.
Right.
Because you're looking at us. That's surface level. Like, obviously, yeah, of course. But if Kyrie is just coming up and he's watching a Bob Cousy, if Bob Cousy is the best point guard of that time, he's going to pattern his game off of Bob Cousy. So what are we talking about here? You know, so that's just, you know.
Then you got to think about the players that are in the wrong eras. Like, I think about a guy like AK-47. Man, if he started in today's era as a rookie, we could be talking about him as like a top 15 player, as opposed to he was an all-star for a few years, but nobody, like, people know he was good. People don't view him how they should. Like, mm-hmm. you think Draymond is a beast, like, on what he does. AK is that, AK with shooting, you know what I mean? Taller, might be faster, all that. Like, people don't really know. I think about a guy like Jahlil Okafor. If he played back in the 90s or something, with his post game, who knows? You never know. Like, players are just good at what they're good at, but you can't really. It's just hard to debate.
I mean, I think about guys like AI, Baron Davis, Steve Francis. Mm-hmm. Even when they were playing, it doesn't seem that long ago, but it wasn't that wild. It wasn't like a spread out game.
Yeah, it's crowded.
You know, like, the game wasn't run and gun like we see today. And they were still putting up numbers. Smaller two, like, smaller guards too. Like, these guys were 6'6", 6'1", 6'2", 6'3". Getting up, like, I just imagine these guys in today's era that's so open, the pace and space, what they were able to do. Just watch AI's clips, man. He was getting these half court. He was getting these middies off. Smallest dude on the court going to work. In a much more physical game.
Get a lot of that from AI. People don't peep.
Of course.
Get a lot of that from AI.
And so we got to start giving credit to the people who did it before. Today's game, like, I think it seemed like there's no room to appreciate the past or the present, but you got to appreciate each era for what it is.
Yeah, you got
to
appreciate everything.
I love the history, and I love what's going on today and the evolution, but you're not going to disrespect the guys who paved the way and that have allowed you to get paid the way that you do. Like, these guys weren't on chartered private planes. These guys had to take bus rides to these games. Some of these guys probably had to work part-time jobs when the season was over. Yeah, they weren't getting paid. Like, they didn't have these endorsements. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, you just got to keep it honest with it. Like, Will Chamberlain, Bill Russell, Jerry West, Kareem, Oscar, Bob Cousy, Pistol Pete. Nah, Elgin Baylor. Like, we got to, we got to really – maybe now's not the show, but I want to have a conversation on Tim Duncan and how I think he slighted a little bit
when it comes to. But we knew that we could have that combo. I love Tim Duncan, but we
can have the combo.
We knew that was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen.
Top five, I don't think they're going to look at you.
They're going to look at you crazy.
But if we want to go resume and stats, Tim Duncan has one of the best resumes ever.
If they want to go Ben for Ben, Tim Duncan up there.
Hold on.
If they want to go off of just what he, like, yeah.
I'm going to just, like, since we're here now, whatever. Five championships, right? Five. Mm-hmm. That's more than most of your favorites. Three finals MVPs. two-time MVP, 15-time All-Star, 10-time All-NBA first team, 3-time All-NBA second team, 2-time All-NBA third team. So guess what? He made the first team in 98. He made the third team in 2015. That's longevity, right? 8-time All-Defensive first team, 7-time All-Defensive second team, Rookie of the Year, College Player of the Year.
Yep.
Like, come on. Like, what are we talking about? Top five resume. And you talk about his peers at that time, KG. They speak highly of Duncan.
Dirk,
Shaq, like they speak highly.
Everybody knows.
Chris Webber, like they know what it is. And so, yeah, we got to have a conversation. Like, I know everybody has their own top five, top 10. I'm going to put it out there. If Tim Duncan is the best power forward, he's widely held as the best power forward.
Oh, yeah.
If he's the best at his position of all time, why can't we put him in the top five? That doesn't make sense to me.
If somebody, honestly, if anybody ever told me they had Tim Duncan in top five, I would not bet an eye.
And honestly, I might have told you this before. I think Steph is top 10.
Yeah, I mean, he's – listen, after that Celtics Finals, to me,
that
he
was
deserved,
the one.
He deserved – you could put him in there. Like, if somebody put him in there, I wouldn't be mad. I wouldn't be mad at all. Just if you look at how he changed the game, and he proved that he didn't need a crazy super team to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He had nothing else to prove.
And that's the thing, though, with top 10 lists, right, because it can always change. Because if you put Steph in, somebody has to go. Who are we taking out? Are we taking Oscar out? Are we taking Elijah Wan out? Are we taking, you know, Dr. J out? Like, who are we? I think Dr. J has a conversation for top 10 of all time, right? He just doesn't have the championships to talk, you know, to match up with some guys. But I think what will remain the same, MJ will always be in the conversation. Russell, Wilt, Magic, and Bird. Those guys will always, and Kareem, those guys will always be in the conversation.
Yeah, Brian Kobe.
Yeah, Brian and Kobe. Those guys, Shaq. Those guys will always be in that conversation. So it's an interesting conversation. Everybody has their own preference, right? But I think all in all, what it comes down to is a better framing of it would be, let's have a top 10 of each era. That would be a fun discussion. Top 10 of the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2020s.
And people would start seeing that you'll have better debates because
it's a tough cop to narrow down the top 10 each era.
Yeah,
that's tough.
That's
tough.
It's like, hard to do.
That's
hard to think about everything. You got to think about all the players. You got to think about players that may have had a shorter run, but at their, like a Derrick Rose, right? His run wasn't that long, but are you really going to say it was 10 players? We're going peak for peak. Was it really 10 players better than him at his peak? I don't know.
Does Westbrook?
We got to do that. We got to do that.
Does Westbrook?
We got to do that. One episode, yeah.
Yeah, we'll dedicate a show to each era. We'll start at the 60s, 70s, 80s. Like, we really got to do our research, like really dig deep, because there's some there's some deep cuts. We talk about the 70s and 60s. Like, there's some guys that I think that's a better conversation. I want to see more of that. You know what I'm saying? So we talk about NBA discourse and the media. That's what we're talking about. The same old tired conversations. Oh, MJ versus LeBron, face of the league. Oh, eras, whatever. I don't care. Let's have like legit forward-thinking conversations that make sense outside the box. And so top 10 of each era, to me, we're going to do that. We're going to do that probably. Give us some time to like research and really dive in. And we won't even do it in an order, because I don't even know if order is fair, right? Like, it's just – because how are you going to – how can I say Bill Russell is 3 and Wilt's 4? If I use the rings conversation, Bill Russell should be number one then, because he has all the rings. So how are we basing it off of? Is it rings? Is it talent? Is it impact?
Yeah.
It's because if it's rings, then Tim Duncan should be top five then. I mean, if it's resume, Tim Duncan should be up there with Kareem, MJ, and LeBron. You know what I'm saying? So interesting conversation. I'm glad we came up with that. And we'll each 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s,
2000s,
2010s, 2010s, 2020s, and 2020s.
Well, they still going though. I don't know.
2020s. Well, yeah,
they still going. We should stop at 2010.
Yeah, we'll stop at 2010 because 2020s is still being written. I can tell you right now, I would put the Joker number one in my 2020 right now.
Joker's in there for sure.
That's another name. Like, when it's all set, if he wins two more rings, where do we put Joker at with the numbers that he's putting up? Like,
yeah,
Who are you taking out of the top 10? Who, like, it's ever changing. It's ever growing. But it's fun, though. It's fun, though. That's a wrap for this show, y'all. Thank y'all for listening and watching. Don't forget YouTube, Apple Podcasts. We on there. Like, subscribe, share it with your friendly, your family, your friend groups on the phones. Enjoy the rest of these conference tournament games. You know, the Wildcats, I think they're playing UConn right now. So tap into that, see what they got going on. And yeah, we'll talk to y'all next week. The brackets will be released. Going to be a lot of hoop. I can't wait. Y'all enjoy it. Be safe. We'll talk to y'all next time.
Peace out.